welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 22nd of December. Get ready for three, maybe four nights of very cold temperatures. Get ready to cover all the plants again. This is getting kind of ridiculous. 25 years almost here in the Tucson area, I cannot remember a wetter or colder December. But, you know, if you're going to get a really cold month, it might as well be December. Getting everybody ready for the holidays. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA, AM 1240 in Globe, and KAPR, AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at KVOI.com. Also, three venues now for 24/7, anytime, anywhere listening, buckmastershow.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We start the show with a conversation with the head of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Leah Marquez Peterson will join us. We'll be talking about what is making her organization one of the fastest growing chambers in the country. 20 minutes past the hour, Ben Korn is with me in studio. We will be discussing what's it going to take to keep young professionals in Tucson after graduating from college here. Mr. Korn is the immediate past president of the Tucson Young Professionals. 30 minutes past the hour, we talk with Dr. Mark Stegeman of the TUSD Governing Board. We'll look back over a tumultuous year for the area's largest school district and the second largest school district in Arizona. Actually, it should be the second largest in Southern Arizona, largest district in Arizona. Then we close out the show with Dr. Robert Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. We'll go over the new recommendations from the Goldwater Institute to make Arizona schools more accountable. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Leah Marquez Peterson now joins us on the Buckmaster Show. Leah, good to talk with you, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Bill. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
It is that time of year, and I really do want to begin with your miracle on 31st Street. This is a big deal, and it's been going on, this event, for 41 years, and this is kind of, today is wrapping it up. Tell us a little bit about this event, and I know you need toys right now.
Yeah, you know, we're really trying to help the community, and I think by being involved with Miracle on 31st Street, have been able to make a difference. Ramon Gonzalez started this event 41 years ago and continues to pull it off year after year, feeding and giving toys to thousands of needy children on the south side of Tucson. This year at Aquino Stadium, we are soliciting volunteers from anyone in the community and certainly toy donations. I just posted on Facebook moments ago a picture of piles of toys in our office, but even that's not enough. So we're still looking for additional toys for Christmas Eve Day. The toy giveaway in Santa arrives at 10 a.m.
This is a wonderful event. These are needy Southside children, and it's not just toys. Leah, you're also collecting food as well, correct?
Actually, we have food donated by the Silver Saddle, which is wonderful. They feed all the children, so they're not collecting food at this time, but certainly any food donations dropped off, we would take over to the community food bank.
Okay, the toys can be dropped off at 4420 East Speedway, that your chamber office, that's correct?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Leah, I want to talk a little bit about and congratulate you. During your leadership at the chamber, the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, you pretty much have doubled your membership. It really has been dramatic, the increase there. And what would you, other than the fact that you're a wonderful, dynamic person, what are you attributing this increase in membership to?
Oh, thank you, Bill. You know, I think 2.5 years ago, I was hired as the president of our Hispanic Chamber, and I come from Tucson. I'm a small business owner here in Tucson, and the first thing we needed to do is, as our board of directors and our team, our staff team, was really listen to the businesses and find out what their needs were. We added a lot of new programming, a lot of events that I think people will tell you they find valuable, and they have fun while they're attending our luncheons and our activities, and that makes a difference. We're also creating programs, and we're very fluid. So as people tell us they have needs, we create new educational programs or other types of events to help them grow their business. Ultimately, bottom line, everything we're trying to do within the chamber is to help our member businesses grow their revenue. That includes a lot of the outreach we've done this past year internationally into Mexico. People say, why? And we express that the greatest opportunity a lot of our business community has lays less than an hour away, just across the border. But a lot of people need that hand-holding, whether it be cultural or language or connections or resources. And that's a major role our Hispanic Chamber is going to play with a lot of the businesses in town. That among procurement, and we're doing some women in business events, and just have a lot of passion about helping our businesses thrive in the Tucson area.
Are you attracting younger business people?
I don't know if I define it as younger. I think we certainly have a lot of women business owners that are participating, but one thing I wanted to make sure your listeners know is you certainly do not have to be Hispanic or speak Spanish to participate in the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We're really about how do you reach that Hispanic demographic, which is the fastest growing market in the United States.
Yeah, the annual Hispanic buying power in Arizona is $34 billion, and despite the recession, Hispanic buying power is expected to grow 50% in the next 5 years nationwide. So we're talking about a very, very attractive demographic, aren't we?
Absolutely. And what we tell our businesses here in Pima County, by the year 2030, 51% of our community will be Hispanic. So whatever your product or service, what are you doing in your business model to reach this fast-growing demographic? And ultimately, that's the bottom line that we're talking to members about.
And I think you brought up a very good point, because when people do hear Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, they assume you have to be Hispanic or fluent in Spanish to be a member. Well, I'm a member, and I'm not Hispanic, and I'm not fluent in Spanish. I just like what you're doing with your organization.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that.
So what do you tell people some of the goals that you're setting for 2012? And I will say you're very, very active on social media and in promoting your events, and you do have luncheons regularly, and you have special events. So what do you have planned for 2012?
Yeah, I recently wrote an op-ed in Inside Tucson Business that kind of focused on what we talked about at our State of the Chamber address last week. And it was around five areas. One was certainly, how are we going to help our businesses reach the Hispanic market? We're launching in 2012 monthly workshops that are at no cost to our members on how to reach the Hispanic market. And those will be held the fourth Wednesday of every month. But really trying to identify what are key principles and strategies your business can be doing. So that's kind of the first area. Second being women in business. If you look at business ownership across the nation, the fastest growing segment of that is the Latina business owner. We have a large number of Latina business owners, but we also want to help people who are interested in starting businesses or women in business that want to go to the next level. So we've got a women's event that we're going to be starting to do quarterly. We hosted a very successful Southern Arizona Women's Business Conference last year, plan to continue to do that. Thirdly, procurement. Huge opportunity for small businesses selling to the government and larger businesses. Oftentimes, that's a headache. It's a lot of paperwork, getting certified, and so on. We plan to help our businesses and handhold them through that process, especially minority and women-owned businesses. They're two federal programs that are very, very valuable and helpful. We want to make sure that minority and women-owned businesses in our Tucson area are aware of that and certainly let them know how we can help. Fourth, I spoke about our international presence. We're the only chamber in the state of Arizona to have an office not only in Tucson but also in Hermosillo. We've been doing a lot of work in Nogales, Sonora, and have launched a bi-national membership to help Mexican businesses also connect as investors or suppliers or customers in southern Arizona. So very excited about the international work we're doing.
Leah Marquez Peterson is with us. She's president and CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. With me in studio is Ben Korn. Leah, Ben is the past president, as you know, of the Young Tucson Professionals. He has a question for you. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, Leah. I'm in the Greater Tucson Leadership class, which I know you're familiar with. We went on a border tour recently and came to find out that there's a lot of economic development that we are lacking as to the flow of business that could be coming through the border. And this Hispanic demographic is just huge in terms of what could be impacting our economy. And, you know, you just talked about the international outreach. How's that going for you?
Yeah, it's going very well. And that's a good point, Ben. What we are talking to Mexican businesses about is how it's different to market to Hispanics in Arizona and how it's different for businesses in Arizona to market to Mexican nationals. And that's a clear distinction. So we're working with our businesses on that. In addition, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of economic trade opportunities between Sonora, especially being the state closest to us, and the state of Arizona. I think what we're trying to do is coordinate the resources that already exist. The U.S. Department of Commerce does incredible work in exporting. You've got Vamos a Tucson, Felipe Garcia, working very closely with businesses that rely on tourism. And we're really helping the small businesses connect. We're helping businesses that want to import into southern Arizona and help with the Mexican investor piece. So we are coordinating effort, and we're certainly someone that can send referrals to other agencies that can help businesses also.
Leah, the mayor's office, Mayor Rothschild, the new mayor of the city of Tucson, who will be our guest 1 week from tomorrow here on the Buckmaster Show, has hired a special person who will be in charge just of small business. Was that a good move?
Absolutely. I mean, we had an opportunity to meet with Maricela Solis, who's actually the former president of our Chamber of Commerce, yesterday, and we're excited to hear about her follow-up with the 180-day work plan that the mayor campaigned on. There are a lot of key pieces, I think, that the business community are keeping their eye on, want to see, certainly, the mayor succeed in all of those different areas, and I plan to continue to meet with he and Maricela about those issues.
Okay, we are going to go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Mike is with us. Mike, you are with Leah Marquez-Peterson, President, CEO, Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Go ahead, Mike.
Leah, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I've heard a lot of good things about what's going on, and I want to give you some accolades. But as a 30-year Arizona resident, as a small business owner, you know, I remember it wasn't that long ago that any day of the week you could go down in Nogales or some of the border towns, and the community was just thriving, elbow to elbow, people shopping. And at the same time, you know, the migrant workers and some of the seasonal labor seemed to work very, very well for decades. And then NAFTA came in and a couple of things. My question to you is, what happened? Where did we go from, you know, what changed to where, you know, now in Main Street at noon in Nogales, you can throw a bowling ball down the street and not hit anybody. Well, what was the cause of the massive shift?
I think what I can speak to, Mike, and that's a good question, is within the last couple of years, certainly the economic downturn has been devastating for the border communities. That, in combination with some of the violence that Mexico has seen occur, has certainly been, you know, just devastating. What we've noticed, though, as we've studied this and made our connections and met with dignitaries on the other side of the border, is the state of Sonora is actually doing better in terms of its GDP than even the state of Arizona. There's a lot of opportunity and activity. However, as you go down, anecdotally, I'm from Tucson. I've certainly been to Nogales millions of times. Nogales, Arizona is really struggling. When you cross the border into Nogales, Sonora, they're also having a hard time, but there's a lot of money and a lot of large corporations in that community, and I think there's an opportunity to really engage. I learned recently there are 23 publicly held companies in Nogales, Sonora, and I think that's not the perception that people in Tucson or Pima County have of Sonora, that the wealth and the activity and the opportunity over there, and that's something that we want to be sure to communicate as a Hispanic Chamber to the businesses, that there's a real opportunity to work with our Mexican counterparts.
And it does seem, Leah, that the Mexican economy, and we hear this from our contributor who comes on our program once a month, Keith Rosenblum, he tells us that the economy in Mexico is getting actually quite a bit better.
Absolutely. We hear stories of that also. We see the number and the data. What we've been doing to help connect businesses is coordinating with the various chambers of commerce that are in Sonora. They come up to meet with us and our members and vice versa. We've also been working with a lot of the mayors of the towns in Sonora to make those connections if they're smaller in size and don't have the chambers of commerce. I think they're very hungry and anxious to work with us in southern Arizona and really need those pipelines to reach the business community.
Leah, thank you so much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. Folks can get more information about the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I want to give us your website.
Absolutely. It's TucsonHispanicChamber.org.
Thank you very much, and have a great Christmas season and a wonderful New Year. Thanks.
Thanks. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Ben Korn will stick around with us. Ben from the Young Tucson Professionals talking about a big New Year's Eve event, and we'll be talking about how do we keep fine, talented young people in our community after they graduate. That's coming up next on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today. Knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Well, 22 on the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show, is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice and The Voice Network, our partners in Globe and Douglas listening to us. And KVOI is the Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. If you doubt it, just put 1030 on and drive up to Phoenix. You'll probably be able to listen to us all the way up to downtown Phoenix. Ben Korn joins us now. Ben, thank you for sticking around in the first segment. And adding a question there for Leah Marquez Peterson. Ben is the immediate past president of the Tucson Young Professionals. Ben, tell me a little bit about this organization formed about 5 years ago in the community.
Yeah, we've been around for about 5 years. We are really building momentum. We've got a big, huge event coming up that I'll tell you about in a little bit. But our mission is to promote, attract, and retain young professionals in Tucson. We recognize that there was a void there in this community. I grew up here and actually left and came back and immediately noticed that you've got no verifiable source of young professional networking and gathering and social community and that people being involved with the future of Tucson. So that's what we've been hard at work at for a few years now, and we're really excited about the strides that we've been making.
You know, it is about networking with a lot of the young professionals in the community, and I think before this organization came along, and I'm sure there really wasn't kind of a central clearinghouse where people could get together, socialize, exchange business cards, network, the whole deal.
Yeah, we've got a big vision for this. It's not necessarily that we want to be a chamber, like Leah just was discussing. We don't also just want to be a party. We want to be a place to convene and get involved and plugged in and feel a sense of community here in Tucson. We find that people that are involved in the solution and trying to make this a better place really do enjoy being involved and get that much more out of living here, and they're more likely to stay.
The Eller MBA program at the University of Arizona is presenting Resolution 12/31/2011. That's hosted by the Tucson Young Professionals. Hey, we've got to have some partying in there. Can't be all business. Resolve to rock in the new year. Tell us about this event that you've got planned.
Man, I tell you, ever since coming back to Tucson, I thought, couldn't we have some kind of a really big, big event for New Year's Eve? And this is it. And I'm really excited to be a part of putting it together because we're expecting 400 or 500 people up at Los Ventana Canyon. Just to give you a little vision of it, there's going to be a whole red carpet entrance. There's going to be an ice sculpted bar. There's going to be elevated DJs, dueling DJs, actually, DJ
wow.
Sue and DJ M.
Appropriate formal dress if you're in the mood.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're going to have a champagne toast, and there's going to be 3 10-foot by 10-foot projection screens up there. Shadow dancers and video to go along with the music. So we've also got a Moulin Rouge style dance performance. I'm really excited. This is going to be the type of thing that, you know, skip the flight somewhere else because you can get it here like you would in another big city.
What are the particulars about this event, the time, and we know it's going to be at Ventana?
Yep, 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. Tickets are on sale right now. There's actually a discount during the week of Christmas of $25. General admission is $100. VIP admission is $125. But it's the type of event that's worth making an exception for to go out. The Facebook page has a contest running right now. If you go to it, you can be entered to win a stay at the Los Ventana Canyon for the night. Keep it safe and not drive. And as well as 2 VIP tickets. That contest is actually going to end this evening, so we'll be announcing a winner on that tomorrow.
Where do they go on Facebook?
Just Tucson Young Professionals is pretty easy on there. We've got about 700 fans right now, so we've got
cool.
A lot of traffic going. It's fun.
Cool. Getting back to the Tucson Young Professionals, we were talking with Leah about, the business climate. What do we do now to keep young people here, and what would you like to see now with the mayor's office, now with the liaison for small business? You're a small business guy yourself. What are some of the things we need?
I am. I think we need to have a bit more of a business-friendly attitude and feel. I was reading a book the other day, Good to Great, you know, and it's like if you wake up every day and you think about, what am I going to do to be great today? I think Tucson has got so much potential that we just need to jump into that and try and be great every day and come out and do something positive in this town. I think we're on the verge of taking it to the next level. Downtown is a really exciting area for us. We've been trying to promote that area, the redevelopment down there. People in bigger companies say that's the thing that people need, the other people coming from out of town, they require a place to gather, to be a sense of community, and we hear that from the bigger companies and their CEOs and employees.
How has the Eller MBA program has been kind of teaming with you on the resolution event, but this seems like it's a natural fit, talking about business and young professionals.
They've been a huge support, and a huge thanks to Jeff Hunter over there. It's a natural fit for us. We would love to get those people involved. I think it's just a building of momentum and that people need to understand where they need to go and how they need to gather. And when people at the MBA understand, and the Eller and the college business and the people in graduate school understand that this is where it's at and this is where people are going to gather, they're going to be more likely to stay here in Tucson and feel a sense that they're going to get involved. They're going to have opportunities that they wouldn't have. And we don't have to go somewhere else to another city to find a real job, because we really do have a lot of them here. And there's that bridge that we just need to connect.
Tucson Young Professionals, the big event New Year's Eve at Lowe's Ventana. Go to Facebook. Lots of information about the event, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Should be a rockin' night. Resolution, bring in the new year. Resolve to rock in the new year. Ben Korn, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you having me.
And have a wonderful holiday season and a great new year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. We'll be talking about education next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama claims a small number of House Republicans are the only ones standing in the way of a deal to extend expiring payroll tax cuts. The president wants a two-month extension and then says we can work on a year-long extension of the tax cuts. House Speaker John Boehner, though, says a one-year extension is the way to go from the outset. Iraq's worst violence in months has now claimed at least 69 lives in Baghdad. There were two additional bombings in the evening after the 14 that struck various parts of the capital earlier in the day. Military officials say the president's order to withdraw 10,000 U.S. troops from Afghanistan this year has been accomplished, with a little more than a week left until the deadline. On Wall Street, the Dow up 62 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives. Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Well, 12:34, this is the Buckmaster Show. This is the Thursday edition. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on KVOI. Two court hearings, one brought by TUSD, the other by 11 Mexican-American studies educators, are now over. Both actions involve TUSD's Mexican-American studies program. The TUSD case maintains the Mexican-American studies program is in compliance with state law. And as the state and the district is awaiting the decision, the 11 Mexican-American studies educators are working to keep Arizona Schools Chief John Hoopenthal from taking any further action on the program. Dr. Mark Stegeman joins us now, TUSD governing board member. So the court action, Dr. Stegeman, is over. Now it's, I guess, the waiting game, huh?
Well, with the administrative hearing at the state, yes. The hearing officer will get back to us probably between the 2nd and 5th of January, and we're obviously very curious to see which way he goes.
You know, TUSD would take a huge loss here of perhaps millions of dollars in state funding if it is held to be not in compliance. Would the district have a choice here, or would what is your feeling? Would you have to the district have to eliminate the program?
I don't think we'll be willing to take that funding cut. I don't think a majority of the board, of course, we don't know exactly who the board is going to be. I don't think a majority would support that. I think the choice will be either to comply or to go back into court and fight about it some more.
Do you want to set the record straight here, Mark Stegeman, about your feelings about this Mexican-American studies program? Would you like to see it go away?
Well, I've always supported the aims of the program as were articulated by the board in 1998 when they authorized setting it up. But at this point, and I've said this for several months now, I would favor shutting the current program down and starting over with something that would satisfy those goals or try to reach those goals with many more students than that program is reaching.
And what would that new program look like if you were designing it?
I think that would involve putting more information about Mexican-American history and culture into our regular social studies core where all the students would see it, including our Anglo students and students of every background. I think some of the students who don't choose to take that kind of course are the people students who most need to see that material. I think we could even be a leader in the state in putting more of that kind of material into our regular curriculum instead of carving out a special curriculum.
If there was one thing that you had to point to that you feel that has bothered you the most about this program, what would you say it is, Dr. Mark Stegeman?
I think there's too much political, ideological content in the current curriculum.
Namely?
I think that there is a... It's to put it crudely, I think there is a left-wing, left bias. And when I teach economics at the university, I try very hard to present both sides equally. And I think that at least some of the instructors don't do that in that program. There are some other issues, but I think that would be the biggest issue. And that's a little different feeling than I had a year ago. But as I've learned more about the program, I do think that's a problem.
Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us, saying he believes there's a left-wing bias to the TUSD Mexican-American Studies Program. Dr. Stegeman, it's been kind of a tumultuous year for you. You were the board chair of the TUSD Governing Board. You are no longer the chair. How would you characterize this year, 2011, for you on that board?
Oh, for me, I think tumultuous would be a very safe word.
Would that work for you, or is there something that you would like to say but can't because we're on radio?
No. I think tumultuous is a fine word. I do think the district has had some successes. I think our teacher training and principal training has improved quite a bit. We've had some success, I think, in the turnaround schools, Palo Verde and Rincon. There have been some failures, too, on the operations side. But I think that on the whole, we have made progress toward laying the groundwork for TUSD's eventual turnaround. I believe that sincerely.
We're going to be talking with Dr. Robert Hendricks, our monthly contributor on education, about this Goldwater report that came out urging three things, basically, Dr. Stegeman, on accountability in our public schools. I'll quickly run through mm-hmm. this with you and give me a general feeling on what you think about it. Number one, establish through accountability plans, reject mediocrity, and identify quality. Those are the three things they are recommending.
Well, it's hard to object to those as stated. I mean, rejecting mediocrity and advocating high quality are hard to argue with. I think that the differences between Democrats and Republicans on education issues sometimes have been exaggerated. I think that Republican and Democratic families mostly want similar things from the public school system. I think that one of the biggest genuine differences is in how we feel about the charter schools and the private schools and how much state aid those schools should get. That's a real difference between Republicans and Democrats. But in terms of what we do in the classroom, I don't think there's that much divide, really, in what people want.
The search almost over for the new TUSD governing board that will fill the vacancy that was left by TUSD board clerk Judy Burns, who, of course, suffered a fatal heart attack in October.
Yes, the county superintendent has run a pretty good process, I think. The committee, which I think is a good committee, which our board appointed, had the grueling task of interviewing 54 people. I think I might have shortened the list before I went to interviews, but they were very heroic to do that, and I applaud them.
They talked with 54 people?
I heard 54 and 56, but something like that. That's astonishing. But what they have done now is cut the list to five. I don't know who the five are. They're trying to keep that secret. But they've cut the list to five for a follow-up interview, and that makes sense to me.
Other than this Mexican-American studies issue and how that might impact the TUSD financial picture, how does it look for 2012, the remainder of this school year, the budget-wise?
Oh, budget-wise, we're fine. We don't have the problems we used to have of having budget shortfalls. We have better management in finance now, and so we don't go through that ritual that used to be common a few years ago. I think looking a year or two out, the legislature may cut our budget some more, and that'll be another issue, another set of issues, and especially when the state sales tax temporary increase ends, school districts across the state may have issues. But for the rest of this year, I think we're fine.
One of the issues, of course, that came up in 2011, the closing of some schools in the TUSD district, is that pretty much behind us right now as far as having to close any more schools?
I don't think we're going to go back into that swamp this year, but in the future, yes, I think we'll probably have to go back there again. Our enrollment this year looks to take another significant drop. The last I heard was an estimate of 1,700, which would be a record drop. We've been losing 1,000 every year, and this would be the biggest number. I'm very optimistic and committed to turning that around, but the fact is, as long as that trend continues, we're going to have to look again at closing schools, but not this year. I think it would be 1 year out.
Talking about 1,700 students that have chosen to go elsewhere, huh?
Well, it's partly the economy. Districts all over the state have lost students this year. But it's not all the economy. A significant fraction of that, I think, represents defections to charter schools, privates, and our neighboring districts. That's the reality.
You know, Basis School continues, the charter school, to just get fantastic rave reviews. Been named, I think Newsweek named it one of the best, or maybe the best, charter school in the country. What are they doing that TUSD could learn from?
That's a good question. And one problem with TUSD is that we haven't looked at what other people are doing enough to see what we could learn from it. They have a narrower curriculum they do. They don't have the sports. They don't have as much on the arts. So they have focused on math and literacy skills, which is very important. And they focus a lot on teacher quality. And they have a pool of parents who are very committed to the mission. And so they're not teaching a representative sample. And although legally they do have to accept anyone, they have a diagnostic test that in effect counsels many people out of the school. And I don't necessarily criticize them for that, but I'm saying that their high performance in part reflects selectivity. And indeed, our high performance with University High reflects the same thing. That's selective entry, too. And so both those schools, to be honest, get a little bit overrated because they're not taking all typical students.
Overall, TUSD in pretty good shape then financially for the new upcoming year?
Well, in the sense of having our revenues and expenditures mm-hmm. well planned and balanced, yes, I think we're doing a good job of financial management now. But the forward-looking financial picture in the state, although revenues are increasing a little bit, we are looking at potentially more tax cuts and an unsympathetic legislature. And so it's a very uncertain picture as we look 3 or 4 years out.
When is your term up on the TUSD governing board?
Next year is my last year.
Okay, next question would be, are you going to seek re-election?
I still haven't decided.
If you had to make a decision right now, what would you? You can change your decision, but if you had to give me a decision right now.
I would say I am running.
You would say?
I think it's more than likely I will, but I have sincerely not decided. I need to decide within a couple of months. But I think TUSD is moving forward. I think despite all the MAS uproar, I think I've contributed to that. I think I've had some successes this year in controlling costs. I suggested that we buy some computers instead of off-state contract through a competitive bid process. It saved about $1 million. They did it differently based on my recommendation. It saved a lot of money.
It was an old computer system.
Yeah, we had to replace it, but they were going to buy the 6,000 computers in state contract. I said, let's go out for a competitive bid. And they did that, and it saved a lot of money. And so I have had some successes this year, and as long as I feel like I'm making a contribution in those areas and in cutting costs, which we have to keep working on, then I see some value in staying there.
Dr. Mark Stegeman saying at this point anyway, he will be seeking another 4 years.
Well, but I haven't decided.
You heard me say at this point.
I say that hasn't decided. More than 50%.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
51%. He's leaning that way. Have a great holiday season. Merry Christmas to you and a Happy New Year.
You too, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Coming up on 12:47 on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Bob Hendricks is waiting in the wings, and we'll talk more about this accountability needed for all public schools. Stay with us.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in 2 items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost? What can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits 2 people, and you can bring up to 2 items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my 2 items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners. The backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
It's 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and our Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, 790-2040. You are always welcome, Buckmaster Show listeners, to join in the conversation. Just because I'm doing the interviewing doesn't mean that if you have a question, we will not share it with our guest. The Goldwater Institute, Phoenix-based think tank, is out with the recommendations for what they say will make Arizona schools more accountable. This report was put together by Jonathan Butcher, Education Director for the Goldwater Institute, joining us on the Buckmaster Show, our contributor on education. He's with us at least once a month, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus now at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He's taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy analysts at the master's and doctoral level. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Well School District, and he is Arizona's top school administrator, named so in 1989. Bob Hendricks, good to see you.
Nice to be back, Bill.
Well, we continue on with this half hour talking about education. You heard our interview with Dr. Mark Stegeman of the TUSD Governing Board, and I mentioned this Goldwater report and the three kind of bullet items about, establishing accountability plans, rejecting mediocrity. Who doesn't want to reject mediocrity?
No, I mean, Dr. Stegeman is absolutely correct. We want to have the finest opportunities for all of our youngsters to have a quality education, whether it be in a traditional school environment, a charter school environment, homeschooling environment. All of those options that are readily available to students should be of the highest quality, and they need to be monitored. And that accountability piece, which I don't think has been completely worked out, has to be there.
They also talk about their third bullet point is this identifying quality. And quality, they say, quality virtual and hybrid school models exist here in Arizona and around the country, including a school they mentioned in Yuma and the Florida Virtual School. What is a virtual school?
Well, it's a fairly new phenomena, and I've got to tell you, Bill, there's over 200,000 students across the country that are enrolled in virtual schools, and it's a technology approach to delivering instruction, computer generated. It's a different concept, and we certainly see it a great deal with current universities. And I've been involved in online teaching. But most of my experience has been hybrid teaching. Hybrid teaching is the idea that you're mixing and matching. You're having some instruction online and some instruction face-to-face. The virtual schools, as I understand them, are suggesting that in a K-12 environment that students would receive all of their instruction online at home. Think about homeschooling only at a technological level. And one of the differences, and I see this as a concern, is that at least in homeschooling, the parent is involved. There's an expectation there would be adult supervision and adult oversight. I'm not certain that I see that same opportunity or experience with virtual schools. I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like it would necessarily be there, that it would be more of a socially isolated experience for students. And frankly, to think about a seventh grader, or an eighth grader, an adolescent, being at home in front of a computer for 6 hours with or without adult supervision doesn't quite make sense to me.
Yeah, I'm having trouble buying that concept that the student is, first of all, going to be motivated enough and disciplined enough to actually get behind the computer and, you know, do this virtual schooling. And I think you're right. You're onto something that with the homeschooling, of course, the parents are overseeing it.
And very caring parents.
And giving close oversight. And by the way, are there any statistics showing that homeschooling is just as effective or perhaps more effective than the regular school experience?
I've actually seen one research study, Bill, that suggests that it is as effective. However, the study was done using a hybrid model. So I have not seen anything that suggests that a student who would be participating solely in a K-12 virtual experience would have an equally good experience. There is another piece of research, though, that says that students who, the longer they participate in the experience, the greater their success. And one might extrapolate and say that that might be the case with, you know, many, many other experiences. If students stick with it, they have a better chance of success.
Well, you know, you could see how this virtual schooling could become attractive for school districts. After all, think of the overhead that they'd be cutting down on.
It is no question, arguably no question, that this is a profit center for whoever is operating this. Now, I've looked at some curricula, and there are some very high-quality curricula that is interactive, that is higher-level thinking, where some students, I think, you know, with that particular curriculum would benefit greatly. So I'm not arguing that there isn't some quality material out there, but the idea that one's menu of courses would be entirely online really is hard for me to accept.
Traditional public schools have sorely lacked on the level of accountability in general. As you know, we were talking with Dr. Stegeman about the many challenges TUSD is facing, but they really have had some success in turnaround efforts, and we've talked about turnaround schools before together. Palo Verde and Rincon High Schools really have shown marked success in their turnaround effort. Ames math scores reveal improvement in student achievement. So that is some positive there for TUSD.
It is. And I think the one of the key operative words in that is consistency. And to be fair to online curricula, there is a consistency there. And I think that consistency is something that that clearly could be could level the playing field for all schools, because students should get the same kind of curriculum, a curriculum that's coordinated with the standards, that there's high correlation with what's expected to do successfully on achievement tests and so forth.
So maybe
we've not had that consistency in the public school arena in previous cases.
So maybe adopting some of the virtual school elements.
There are some elements there that are very good.
Yeah. Can you give us a quick one that you can think of that comes to mind right off the bat?
Well, for example, there is a very strong tenet in developing curricula for online universities and K-12 materials that say these are the kinds of things that we need to deliver. There's not going to be much deviation from that, whereas in a regular classroom, sometimes teachers will deviate and they might not be totally on track.
Robert Hendricks, Bob Hendricks, have a great holiday season and we'll see you in the new year.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants Mike Flowers and the gang at 2919 East Broadway, on the web at flowersrieger.com. You will not meet a nicer guy and a more talented CPA than Michael C. Flowers. We strongly recommend his work. Coming up tomorrow, it's the Buckmaster Show, the Friday Focus, and we will be having the Bishop, Bishop Gerald Kakanis, of the Catholic Diocese of Tucson with us tomorrow. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.